I'll give it to him later.
Yeah. Okay, so before we start, there are going to be two theories I'm going to present for the different approaches for electricity based on what the Achronim say. Before we do that, I'm going to just, as an introduction, just start off with the concept of Havara and electric light bulbs, just as a start. So the Avnei Nezer and many other Achronim wanted to say that lighting an electric light bulb is Havara, and they would even use it for Havdalah. And the source comes from the Rambam, because the Rambam codifies the Mishnah that says, I'll read the words of the Rambam, Perek Tes in Hilchos Shabbos, Halacha Yud, Hamatikas Hamatekas, you soften a piece of metal, or Mechamim, you heat it up, Ashetase Gochelas, it becomes a coal, Hareze Toldos Mevashel. The Rambam says it would be a Toldo Mevashel. And in Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Aleph, Rambam writes, Hamechamim es Habarzo, Kidei Letzarfo B'mayim, Hareze Toldos Mavir. So the fact that the Rambam says that you can be considered Mavir, igniting, Mavir is with fire, and the Rambam applies it to a piece of metal, so therefore if you have an incandescent light bulb which has a piece of metal which heats up, that's like lighting a piece of metal, and it would form into the opinion of the Rambam, and it should be Havara. But it would not apply to the case of gas, so such as LED lamps, or if you have fluorescent lights, so in those cases that's using gas, not using a piece of metal, but if it would be a piece of metal, it would be Havara. Now, I have a simple question on the words of this approach. The Gemara says, let's say, by Bishul, the Gemara says that if you cook with fire, it's a Bishul Doraisa. Let's say you would use cooking using solar energy. There's a case the Gemara says, you take an egg, you put it under the sun. That's solar energy like they have in Israel. And the Gemara says it's mutter, and the only time it's asur if it's what's called tolda sachama, that if a piece of metal was heated using solar energy, and the rabbanon, because you might confuse it with a piece of metal that was heated from heat of fire, but the general solar energy is not considered a bishul. So you see that it has to be actual fire itself, and using, let's say, microwaves. So Rav Moshe has an interesting tshuva about microwaves. According to this Gemara, what's wrong with using a microwave? You put your microwave on a timer, you put your food inside the microwave, you close the door, and we'll cook. Why is that not permitted? So actually, Rav Ovadia says it's only Darabana. But Rav Moshe says it's a Doraisa, and Rav Moshe says, why is that different than the case of Tolda Sachama? You cook your egg under the sun. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, because the way Rashi explains that Gemara is because it's not the derech to cook your egg under the sun. And he says, but microwaves, already in his days, this is in the 80s and certainly today, microwaves is every day. Everybody uses microwaves to cook and to heat. So therefore Rav Moshe says, since that is the derech, that would be enough. So you see that it doesn't have to be necessarily regular heat, and if you have other forms of heat, such as microwave, electromagnetic waves, is considered good enough for cooking, according to the way Rav Moshe understands it. So we can extend the same idea why the poskim would apply using piece of metal, heating a piece of metal, would be a Havara as well. Okay, so when the Torah says lo sevar eish b'kol mosh v'seim, it could apply to electric light bulbs as well. So now I'm going to present the two theories as far as how it applies to electricity. The two theories, number one is going to be the Grama theory, and the second one is going to be Ishum Ishum Kitzav, Ishum Ishum Mimona. So let's start with the Grama theory first. So this is, I heard this year from Ravon Soloveitchik. He spoke about it. It's based on Rav Chaim Ozer in Achi Ezer, discusses this, the Rav Asher Weiss in the Minchas Asher discusses this. So they all quote this Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Samach, where the Gemara discusses the case of Liba V'Lipsa Ruach. Liba V'Lipsa Ruach means that you're trying to start a fire, and there's not enough force to start a fire, so you need the wind to help you create the fire. So the Gemara says, Liba V'Lipsa Haruach is Pater. So the Gemara says, if that's true, why is that different than Zora? Zora means winter. They would throw the chaff, right? They throw the kernels into the air, and the wind would separate. The heavy part would fall down, and the light part would flow away.
So Zohar is Chayav. So you're using the wind for the purposes of doing Malach on Shabbos. So why, when you use the wind for Shabbos, says the Gemara, you're Chayav, and why, when it comes to Nizikin, using a wind, Libo v'Libsa Ruach, is Fatah? That is the question the Gemara in Baba Kama and Daf Samach asks. Gemara gives different answers, and we are interested in the last answer. Ravashi Amar Ki Aminan Zora V'Ruach Misiyaso Hainu Li'inyan Shabbos. You know what, says the Gemara? The only time using a wind will be Chayv is only by Shabbos. The Melechas Machsheves Asra Torah Aval Hacha Grama Ba'amahu Grama Benizikin is Fatah. It's one of those unique cases where the Gemara uses Melechas Machsheves to be Mechayev. Usually Melechas Machsheves is a reason to be Pater, and here we're using it to be stricter, be Mechayev. So you see from this Gemara that using the force of natural forces, such as wind, when it comes to Melach of Shabbos, is Chayev. We have other Melachos besides Zorah, and that is Afiyah, right? The only way you can bake is using the heat. So when you put the food into the oven, you're not really cooking. All you're doing is putting it into the oven. It's the heat. It's the heat of the fire that's doing the cooking. And you're still chayev. I'm not doing it. The fire is doing it. Right? That's the question. It's like the wind doing the Zohar. Yeah. So the problem is, there is a Gemara in Shabbos where the Gemara in Shabbos seems to say not so. So here it implies that concept of grama by Shabbos, the words of the Gemara itself, it's not my words, so the Gemara says, grama ben Ezekin is Pater, but by Shabbos grama is going to be Chayav, because Malachas Machsheves. So the question that the Rishonim and the Achronim are bothered with, the Gemara in Shabbos itself says that even when it comes to Shabbos, grama is Pater. Daf Kuf Chaf Amud Beis in Shabbos. The Gemara discusses if you have a fire, dleika, what you're allowed to do is take barrels full of water and surround the fire. So we're not dealing with pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh, you just blow out the fire. So somehow it's not pikuach nefesh, it's just a question of using the money, you know, the object, the house will burn down, nobody will get hurt, okay? So what you do in that case, we can't be Mechal Shabbos to save money, but you're allowed to go ahead and put these barrels with water, and when the fire hits the barrels, it will be extinguished. That's called grama. So the Gemara in Shabbos itself says, Lo tase kol malach, asiu da'asa grama shari. Those are the words of the Gemara itself. So you have a seer in Gemaras. The Gemara Baba Kama implies grama by Shabbos is asur, is chayev, and when it comes to, in Shabbos itself, kufchav, the Gemara says, asiu who the Asur Grama Shari. These are the words of the Gemara, Mamash Astira. So the Rosh in Baba Kama says, oh, you know what? The Gemara in Baba Kama is an exception. That when it comes to Afiyah, when it comes to Zohar, those are Malachas defined using these natural forces. So, look, how are you going to cook without fire? But when it comes to any other malacha, if you can do it in a way without using a force, and you're going to use the force to make it easier for you, then they will apply the Gemara in Shabbos, and we will say that's grama, and grama is fatah. So Zohar and Afiyah is an exception. Everything else, grama wins and rules the day. That's how the Rosh seems to present. Rabbeinu Hanano says, he quotes the Gemara in Baba Kama on this Shabbos, and he says, oh, we see from here, grama is general is asur. So Rabbeinu Hanan implies it's not just those two exceptions, in general, grama is asur. So the question is, what do you do with this? He doesn't really explain, so what do you do with the Gemara in Shabbos itself? So why by barrels is it okay? So different approaches are given to answer to explain how Rabbeinu Hanano, that school of Rishonim, will explain this Gemara in Shabbos. The general rule is, grama is asur. Somehow we're going to have to explain away why, when it comes to barrels putting out a fire, is permitted. Why is that permitted? So, one approach that the Achronim give is, the Achiezer, Rav Chaim Ozer himself says, oh, it's a delayed thing. It's not right away. So grama is asur if it's done immediately with the malacha itself. But if grama is going to be somehow time delayed, so then that will be permitted. That's the chilaf. Another approach is whether it's kiderach or not derach. That's not the usual way of putting out the fire, using barrels so it will hit it, and that's considered lo kidarko, and that's why that is permitted. But in general, grama would be us. And the third pshat, which I think is the pshat of the Merukavis and Mishnah, would be simply, are you dealing with the object itself upon which the fire is, or are you dealing with some other object which will extinguish the fire? In other words, you're not putting the water on the fire itself, or really grama. You're putting the fire in the barrels, and the fire will hit the water. So as long as you're not actually doing the grama with the object which actually has the fire, that would be permitted.
Is it psikreisha? We know for sure that the fire is going to hit the water?
Well, obviously, that's a good point. But psikreisha, again, will only be when it's part of the maisa malacha itself. This is not part of the maisa malacha. So first of all, what is the lamdas behind this machlokas? So here, the Minchas Asher himself, Rav Asher Weiss, explains, the fundamental machlokas is, do we define Shabbos in terms of the maisa vera? Or do you define in terms of the net result? If you define as a maisa vera, then the Gemara's in Shabbos is correct, asiya uda asa grama mutar. But if we define it as a net result, you have to accomplish your goal, so I don't really care how you do it, as long as you get the goal accomplished, then it will be asa. So even if you're going to do it indirectly through grama, in general, awesome. Right, net result is accomplished. Those are the two theories of the grama approach. So now the question, interesting question is, let's first apply to electricity. Let's say, before electricity. Even before electricity was invented, we have Machlokes Achronim who discussed this case. What about a water mill? You want to use a water mill for grinding. So the Magen Avraham says, use a water mill for grinding is an Issa Derabban. He claims he has arrived from Tosus. And the Evan Ozer in the back disagrees. He says it should be an Issa Deraisa. So all these Achronim all point out that's good for this Machlokes Rishonim. According to the Rosh, which is the way the Magen Avraham seems to say it, obviously it's a din in the Maisa, and therefore you're using a water mill, you can do grinding through a hand, and you decide to make your life easier using a water mill, so that's grama, that's not going to be awesome. So Rav Ozer says, no, it's an Issur D'oraisa. He says, look, you're accomplishing the result, what's the difference between that and Zora or any other way? You got the result, you got the grinding, you're just using the force of the water mill as a way of an aid to help you get the result accomplished. So therefore, the Evan Ozer says that would be an Issur D'oraisa. So that's a nafkamina, a practical nafkamina. Or another example they give, the Evan Ozer quotes, he has a raya from a Rambam, because the Rambam says if you do tzad, you could do tzad with your hand. You can catch or set up a trap. Right. And instead, you're using dogs to help you hunt deer. So the Rambam says you're chayav. So he says it's the same thing. You're using the element, the force of a dog, and to do this, accomplish this result. So if the Rambam says that's chayav, certainly the Rambam will say a water mill or any other force using to accomplish it will be chayav. And then we can, by extension, apply this to using electricity to do malacha. So a very simple example, let's say you have a washing machine. You turn on the washing machine before Shabbos, and you throw the clothing on Shabbos. Is that permitted or not? That's good for the same machlokas. According to the Rosh, and according to the Magen Avraham, this is what most of the Rabbanan, because you're not washing the clothing, it's the machine that's doing it. It's the electricity that's doing it for you.
Yeah, but when you put something on fire, we don't say that you have to be heating it. The action of putting your hand with the food down on the fire, and the fire heat is bishul.
Right,
so here, putting the clothes in, it's not like a secondary thing, like sending the dogs out to it. You're actually putting it in there. So
yeah, but you're still using the force of the washing machine. You're not washing it. It's the electricity that's doing the washing.
What's the malacha in question?
Libur.
Okay.
Right. You're doing the malacha of libur. But you didn't do the libur. It's the machine that did it. Why is that different than the case of the water mill?
Doing
tzad. You're not doing it, you're using electricity to do it. So, if you're going to use electricity to do a malacha, so if you have a machine to wash dishes, that's... No, it's one issue is turning on electricity, which I'll get into in a second. But right now I'm talking about the malacha itself, the result is a malacha. So if you're going to use a washing machine for a dishwashing machine, so then, you're allowed to wash dishes. That's not the problem. The problem is because you're washing clothing, you're not allowed to wash clothing on Shabbos. That's an Isur Doraisa, and you're accomplishing that through using electricity. So, or you have another example, let's say, the Chazon Ish talks about using a tractor for plowing. You're not doing it, the tractor will do the plow. All of these examples are the Malacha is done using electricity for the help of accomplishing this result. Okay? So this is all part of this Machlokes. Now, the Minchas Asher has a very fascinating case. He says, you know, you have an institute called the Zomit Institute in Israel, where they come up with this gramophone and all these types of devices where everything is done through gramma. Yeah. And they even come up with this device, it's called, you have a block. You have the energy, the electricity is on, but then you have a block, a mania. And what you're doing, you're not turning on the electricity, all you're doing is removing the mania. So that's even less of direct, even less than grammar. You're just removing, misalik, the block, and the electricity goes through. So what would these poskim say? So clearly, the Rosh, who says that it has to be through your Maisa, so all these grammar devices will help, according to the Rosh and the Magen Avraham. That approach will help. What about according to the Evan HaOzer and according to Rabbeinu Hanano, who says it's the net result, and Malacha is defined by the net result? So, there we have to give different approaches to understand the Rabbeinu Hanano, says the Minchas Asher. So if you go with whether it's immediate or not immediate, well, this is certainly immediate. The gramophone is pretty immediate, okay? So therefore, it should be aser. If you go with the approach whether it's kidarko or not, this is certainly not kidarko because this is a different mechanism than the regular way, and maybe perhaps in this case it would be considered shalom kidark. So that would be the different way. So there's room to then say it should be aser. But according to the first approach of the Rosh and the Magen Avraham, then for sure these heterim would be applicable.
What's the malacha involved in using the phone? Like the light, you know, with the removing the monea, we said that was havara. What about using the phone?
All right, so that's the next point I want to discuss. What about electricity itself, right? So we're getting to the point, what about turning on an air conditioner? Well, you're not really doing anything else besides the fact you're using electricity itself, right? So that's the next point. So the Chazon Ish, the different approach, I'm going to go with the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish says it's either bona or makar v'patur. So he says, he gives the example of winding a watch. So the different poskim, whether winding a watch is mutter or not, the Prima Gadim says it's aser, and the Mishnah Berurah is machriya to be aser. So let's assume we're going like the opinion, the Chazon Ish wants to go like the opinion that winding a watch is aser. So he says, what's the problem winding a watch? Because until you wind the watch, it's a useless piece of metal. When you wind the watch, you turn it into a functional kli. That's makav apatish, because now you have turned it into something functional. So he says, when you let the electricity into the machine, you have turned something that was useless, it was a piece of metal, and now it becomes a functional machine.
Even though that's what it's meant to be?
Right. So therefore, by turning on the electricity, you have now created a functional machine. That is the svara of the Chazon Ish. So now, one of the tainas in the Chazon Ish, but that's not the usual way of doing creating. So I'm saying, this is why I brought in this whole grama approach, that should depend on this machlokas rishonim. According to the Rosh and Magen Avraham, yes, this is not the usual way. All you're doing is just opening the door and just letting it in. But if you go with the second approach that Rabbeinu Hanano, that it's considered the net result, I don't care, grama is aser, and therefore in this case, if you're letting electricity in, even through grama, it would still be a problem. You've created a kli through grama. Now, Rav Shlomo, what?
So what you're saying is, so the electricity itself is not a problem.
What do you mean electricity itself? Yeah, electricity is like water, but if you're letting the electricity turn this machine into a functional kli, you have now created a functional machine. Right. It's not the fact that electricity flows per se. That's what everybody asks. What's wrong? Why is it different than water? That's not the problem. The problem is you have created a functional machine. But what I will say is, and Rav Shlomo Zalman brings this example, let's say you have the water mill. So let's say you have a block holding the water mill down, you remove that lever, and now the water flows, and now it becomes a functional water mill. Before you even put the wheat kernels to grind it. That would be mamish like the case of the electricity. It would be the same issue. What's wrong? You're just letting water in, but now it becomes a functional machine. So it wouldn't make a difference whether you're letting the water in and turn a water mill into a functional mill, or whether you're letting electricity in and becomes an electric device that's activated.
It's the mice that you do.
Well, it is the mice, but the mice becomes an indirect mice. It's the result that you've created a functional machine that will do the mice. Okay? So now, so that would be according to that approach. Now, Rav Shlomo Zalman, addressing this question, he quotes the Chazon Ish, and he asks the following question. He says, the Gemara in Shabbos itself, Mem Zayin, says that if you have a bed, and this is quoted Lo Halacha, the Gemara says, Mita Shel Tarsiyim. And the Gemara says, it's a machlokis in the Gemara of Mita Shel Tarsiyim. And one opinion the Gemara says is mutar, and the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam codify we paskin it's for. What is the mita shel tarsim? Rashi says it's a portable bed, but portable bed. I'm not talking about just a folding chair or a folding table that you're allowed to unfold on Shabbos. We're talking about a portable bed that's completely disassembled. The legs and the board are not connected. And on Shabbos, you are permitted to go ahead and put the legs into this board, if it's made in such a way, because it's made to be carried. It's a portable bed, you assemble it and disassemble it, and this is permitted, and so is quoted, and you have the kos shel chulios of parts that you can put together. Instruments that are you assemble and disassemble is permitted.
Because it's not boina, it's just
the question is, why is that not boina? That is the question. Why is winding a watch different? But with the watch is the same thing. This is the question that Rav Shlomo Zalman raises. Why you're not allowed to wind the watch, and you're allowed to put together this portable bed? So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, the question is design. What is the design? The design of the watch is really to work all the time. The fact that the watch stops and you have to keep doing it is just happens to be the metzias. There's no way to keep it going. If your design, you wish the watch would never stop. But the metzias is there's not enough energy, there's friction, and you have to keep rewinding. But when it comes to the portable bed, the design of the bed was designed in such a way that you temporary. It's a rod. If the whole kli was made in an arai, not just in an arai way, but the whole purpose of the kli is to be functioning as a kli of arai, that's not called bona. So says Rav Shlomo Zalman, he says, this is the tricky point of electricity. Let's say the Chazon Ish is right, you're letting electricity in, you're creating a functional kli. But isn't the machine made to be turned off as well? So isn't that supposed to be like the bed? It's something temporary, and therefore Rav Shlomo Zalman says...
Probably depends on the machine, actually.
What do you mean, like a refrigerator is going to be permanent? Okay, but let's say, okay, so I was thinking, you're right, I mean, I've been thinking like all this time, how are we going to answer Rav Shlomo Zalman's question? Like a very strong question. So I would say, just like the refrigerator, we all agree is permanent, you just turn it off to clean, but in general, it's made to be on. So even if the machine you're going to turn off, that's not actually part of the design of the machine. You're turning it off because, you know, you don't want to pay the electric bill, you're using, wasting energy. But when it comes to the portable bed, part of the design is to take apart the bed because you're going to carry it with you. Here, turning off the machine is not part of design except for the fact that, you know, you can't keep it going. So it's like the refrigerator, you know, eventually you have to turn it off. But I would think that that's not actually part of design itself. This is the Nekudas HaMachlokas, which everything stems, if you know, on all these besides the question of the washing machine, where the Malacha is the washing, but just turning on the electricity itself, this is really the crux of, is that part of the design or not? And that's really the Machlokas, the Chazon Ish, and Rav Shlomo Zalman Minchas
When you say refrigerator, you mean the refrigerator as a whole, like plugging in?
Yeah, right, yeah.
Because the thermostat makes that, the design of the refrigerator is that it should go off and on, that the,
that's
the
a separate
motor should
thing,
go
but
off.
Forget about the thermostat.
You're just talking about...
I'm talking about just turning it
any
on.
Any machine that you want on constantly.
Right, right. That was the point. Right. Okay. Okay. So this is, in fact, there's an interesting question about the Rambam Shita. What does the Rambam hold when it comes to these questions? So the Eben Ozer quotes this Rambam from the Tzad, your Rebbe Avariah, from the hunting with the dogs that he holds like Rabbeinu Hanano. That's one raya. The second raya that the Achronim bring is that the Rambam says, a mistopic, if you take oil, you have a lamp, you know, with right. oil, an oil lamp, and you're going to take the oil off, and by removing the oil, you're going to cause the lamp to go out earlier. That's Gram Kiboy, and the Rambam says it's Aser. So that already is a raya from the Rambam that he holds Gram is Aser. And I have a raya from the Rambam, because the Rambam, by the case of Misasek, the Rambam codifies the way he explains Misasek is the Gemara has a statement. Misasek means you're unaware what you're doing. So we know the Gemara says Misasek b'kalavim v'arayas chayef shekein nena, and by Shabbos you're potter. Those are the statements of the Gemara. Now those statements are very difficult to understand, because what is the rule and what is the exception? It seems to be anything which is not hana would be a p'tur of Misasek. So then what do we have to say? Oh, Shabbos has a p'tur of Misasek. Shabbos is not hana, right? You don't, when you do them, it's not like food. Hana means physical hana with your body. So it's not physical hana of your food that you body. You cook the food. You're not eating the food when you're mechal Shabbos. So therefore, why do we need to say Shabbos is fatter? It's just not nana, right? So there is an interesting nesivas in the Mekor Chaim asked the question that, you know, we search for chametz. Pesach is coming. So he says, what's the problem? Because maybe there's some chametz somewhere in your closet which you're not going to know, and it might be there, right? So the Sivas asks the question, what's the big deal? You're misasek. If you're not aware you have chametz there, it's a p'tur of misasek. Mekor Chaim asked that question.
Bugs in the water.
Okay. All right. So, but the water problem, there's no p'tur of misasek by water. Shekein nan. Okay. But in your chametz, in your closet, you're not nan. Okay? Right? So the Mekor Chaim says, because the whole p'tur of misasek is only by a maisa, not by a result. If the nature of the avera is result-oriented, p'tur of misasek doesn't apply. Owning chametz is not the maisa of buying chametz. Even if you don't buy it, just own the chametz and it's in your closet, it's already the iser of owning chametz by Rabbi Matzah. You don't have to. For Malkus is a different story. But the Easter itself, you're over whether you buy it or you just inherit it or have it before, right? So, for that, there's no p'tur of misasek. So I want to say that's the answer. Shabbos, according to the Rambam, the Shabbos is considered a result-oriented malacha. That's why he has to say Shabbos is an extra exception. Because the regular p'tur of misasek is only by a maisa, and that doesn't apply by Shabbos. So we have two p'turim. Anything which is a maisa vera, as long as it's not hana, would be pater. A misasek b'chalavim rais chayev, but if it's not chalavim rais, would be pater if it's a maisa vera. But in addition, in those cases which is not a maisa vera, where the regular misasek wouldn't apply, you have a second p'tur of Shabbos because of melachas machsheves asra Torah, misasek will be pater even if it's not a maisa vera itself. So that's why we need a separate p'tur of Shabbos, and the regular p'tur of Shekein Nena is not enough, because Shabbos is a result-oriented malacha, and this would prove the Rambam holds like Rabbeinu Hanano and not like the Rosh.
So any Yisheshev al Tase would be like a...
Well, okay, you know, you have to, I don't want to generalize, but something like that, okay? Passive, you're saying, versus, yeah, something like that. Okay, so the next theory that I'm going to discuss is Yishum Yishum Chitzav, Yishum Yishum Mom. And that's the sugya in Gemara Baba Kama and Sanhedrin. So let's discuss a little bit of the Gemara Baba Kama. So there's a machlokes, as you know, the first Mishnah Baba Kama discusses the question, there are arba avos mizikin. If my, right, shor means if my dog goes ahead and breaks your window or bites you, I have to pay, because it's my dog, I am responsible for it. And if my fire goes ahead and breaks and gets into your house and burns down your house, I have to pay as well. So the Gemara in Baba Kama has a machlokas, Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. What does that mean? Rav Yochanan says, when my fire goes into your house and burns your house down, it's considered mishum chitza. It's considered like I shot an arrow into your house. Meaning, it's not just simply like my dog, because it's my property. It's more than that. It's considered like I did it. My chitzav. It's considered like I did it myself. And Reish Lakish says, no, isha mishum emona. Fire is like my dog. There's no difference. It's not, I didn't do it. It's my property. I'm responsible for my fire. It's not considered that I have done this malach. So the Gemara Baba Kama discusses the question, what happens if you have an eved? The Gemara says, you light a fire, and next to the fire there's an eved who's tied down. So by lighting the fire will spread and kill the eved. So the Gemara says, okay, so that's the machlokes. So it says you're potter for paying, it's a Mishnah, it says you're potter for paying any damages to the owner of the eved if the fact that there's monetary loss. Why are you potter? Because the Gemara presumes, it's not so clear, the Gemara doesn't spell out, but the Gemara assumes, oh, according to Rav Yochanan, says the Gemara, it's clearly your potter. And the way Rashi explains it, because kimle bidirame, you're chayev misa because you just killed a human being. Oh, once you're chayev misa, you're potter for monetary payments. But says the Gemara, bishlam according to Rav Yochanan, isha mishum chitzev, you killed an eved. But according to Reish Lakish, you're not chayev misa for killing the eved because this is not me. I didn't do this. It's my fire who did it. If my dog kills an eved, I am not chayiv misa. There is a knas of shloshim shel eved by a shor, but there's no chayiv misa if my animal kills a human being. Right? There's monetary consequences, but not human. We don't kill the person for that. Because unless, you know, he sends the dog, that's a different. But, you know, if he's irresponsible, he's let his dog out, or his shore, whatever, he's not chayev. So why by fire, says the Gemara, he's chayev. So the Gemara says, Reish Lakish will say, oh, it means he took the fire and he actually lit the eved with the fire. He didn't let the fire spread. No, he actually took the torch, so it's not considered isho, it's considered biyadayim. So it's ritzika mamish, and that's why even Reish Lakish will say he's potter. Okay? That's the Gemara in Baba Kama. Isha Mishum Chitza. So, what you see, the simple reading of this Gemara, the way the Tosos and other Rishonim understand it is, that when it comes to Isha Mishum Chitza, according to the theory of Rabbi Yochanan, it's considered as if you did it. Mm-hmm. So that would apply by Ritzikah. You are a murderer if you let your fire spread. It's considered you actually lit the fire. So the Tosfos in Sanhedrin quotes a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Ayin Zayin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, if you throw a rock in the air and the rock falls down and kills a human being, you're chayev. And the Gemara says, because it's koko. So Tosfos says, why didn't you have to say because it's koko? What about the fact there's a principle of Isha Mishum Chitzav, a corner of Yochanan, forget about koko. You know, the fact that there's gravity, you're using, what's the difference between using the force of gravity and using fire? Fire and gravity are forces, and therefore you should be chayev because of Isha Mishum Chitza. Tosus asked that question, and Tosus says that Gemara and Sanhedrin is talking like Reish Lakish. But if you go like Rav Yochanan, you don't need to resort to any koko, Isha Mishum Chitza would be enough. This is the question Tosus and Sanhedrin asked. Then Tosa says, what about Shkita? The Gemara, he quotes a Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara in Chulin says, if you drop a knife and it falls and shefts an animal, it's not such a simple thing to do.
It's kosher.
And as long as the Shkita was done properly,
it's kosher.
The Gemara says it's no good. It's not kosher. But if you throw the knife
with the koa, then
it's good. Right. But Tosa says, but if you hold the Isha Mishum Chitza, it's considered that when you drop the knife, the gravity, the force of gravity helped you do the Shkita. Isha Mishum Chitza would say, even if you drop the knife, should be a good Shkita as well. So why does the Gemara in Chulin say the Shkita is possible?
Does the Gemara Baba Kama give any hint that Isha Mishum Chitza applies to other forces than fire? Do we just assume that
is the assumption that Tosus is making?
Okay, it's not fire in itself, so it implies.
But we do have a Gemara in Baba Kama on Daf Samach who applies it by the wind. Well, it doesn't talk about Isha Mishum Chitza. I should be careful. So you're right. That's another good point. Why did the? But we do have the case of the Gemara says Avno Sakino Maso. Okay. And you put it on the Rosh Hagag, and it falls down, the Gemara says it's a Tol Dovesh. There's no fire there.
Right.
So okay. That already would be a riot. Okay?
Okay.
So that would answer your question.
Okay.
All right. So now, this is question of Tosos, and Tosos gives a very simple solution to this problem. The Ron and Sanhedrin ask the same question, and the Ron gives two answers. The first answer the Ron gives is a fascinating answer. He says gravity is not a force. So it's a big famous machlokas Rishonim, the famous Rabbeinu David. Rabbeinu David says gravity is not a force. So true, if it would be a wind, then it would be considered Ishum Ishum Chitza. But if it's gravity, gravity is not a force, and therefore Ishum Ishum Chitza would not apply. That is the answer of Rabbeinu David. Okay, that's a famous machlokas Einstein and Newton. Newton says gravity is a force, and Einstein says it's not. So it was really a machlokas Rishon. I kid you not, okay? All right. So now, but besides Rabbeinu David,
if
the
Ron... If it's not a force, when you say Nafel Sakin is going to be your direct koach, is that what it means? If it's not
no,
a force?
No, no. The Gemara in Kulin says that if the Sakin Nafel, it's not a force. And that's why it's possible. That's why the Rabbeinu David says the Shkita is no good. Okay. If you throw the knife, and then it's good. So Rabbeinu David says, you're very good, because gravity is not a force. So Rabbeinu David is fine, okay? The Ron doesn't like Rabbeinu David. He thinks that gravity is a force. So the Ron in Sanhedrin says, no, no, you got it all wrong. The concept of Yishum Yishum Chitza, whether it's wind or whether it's going to be gravity or whether it's fire, is limited to Nezikin. It will not apply to Ritzikin. So that's why the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Gemara and Shkita, none of that will be applicable, because Yishum Yishum Chitza is a local din when it comes to Nezikin. The problem is, the Brisker Rav deals with this question, so then what is the Ron going to do with the Gemara in Bava Kamma? He talks about the Eved. The Gemara in Bava Kamma says, according to Rav Yochanan, you lit the fire, and you didn't, not like Reish Lakish, you put the fire onto the Eved himself. You lit the fire and the fire spread, and the Gemara says, oh, according to Rav Yochanan, of course you're Pater. Doesn't say why, but presumably Kimlei. Well, how can you have clean Kimlei without Ritzicha? And if it's Ritzicha, if Yishum Yishum Chitzav is good enough for Ritzicha, why would it be not good enough when it comes to Sanhedrin and when it comes to Shkita as well? So that's the difficulty. The Brisker Rav gives the following answer to this question. The Brisker Rav says, no, when the Gemara in Bava Kamma says that according to Yochanan, Yishum Yishum Chitzav and Yupata by the Eved, it wasn't talking about a din of Kimlei. There's no din of Ritzicha. It's not a Maisa Ritzicha. It does not apply. But we have a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says Tanei Bechizkiya. We have two halachos Tanei Bechizkiya. One halach Tanei Bechizkiya is Kimlei. Kimlei tells you that if you do a Maisa, which is Chayef Misa, you're Pater for Mamonis. You lit a fire and it burns a haystack on Shabbos, you're Pater for monetary payments because you're Chayef Misa for the Chilul Shabbos. That's a Mishnah in Bava Kamma. So the Brisker Rav says, but there we have another Gemara in Sanhedrin. Tanei Bechizkiya says, Maka Behema Yishalmena, Umaka Adam Yumas. Tanei Bechizkiya says, Ma Maka Behema Lochilakta. Ben Shogig Lemezit Ben Miskavin Leinu Miskavin, Af Maka Adam Lochilak Ben Miskavin Leinu Miskavin. That's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. And the Rambam quotes this halach. So the Rambam says, there's a din of Tanei Bechizkiya that if, the Rambam says, that if you were miskavin for one person, and instead you hit somebody else, Tanei Bechizkiya says, for the person you were not miskavin, you are pater, because ain't no miskavin. And not only does we don't kill you for it, there's not even a monetary payment. You killed a human being, so in regular law, you sue a person. Forget about the fact that he did a criminal offense. There's a monetary, civil offense of monetary payments. Tanei Bechizkiya says there's no, in that case, if you were not miskavin for that person, there wouldn't be any capital punishment, and there's not even a monetary punishment. That's his Tanei Bechizkiya. So Brisker Rav says that's how the Ron will learn the Gemara in Bava Kamma. When the Gemara never says the word Kimlei according to Rav Yochanan. The Gemara wasn't using Kimlei in Rav, it was using Tanei Bechizkiya. Because the Gemara was trying to say, of course for the Ritzicha you're not chayav, because there's no din of a Maisa Aveira, because Yishum Yishum Chitzav wouldn't apply. But the Gemara was saying, as far as the monetary issue, would you have to pay? And for that, the Gemara is saying, according to Yochanan, you wouldn't have to pay because there's no monetary payment. Question is, why is there no monetary payment? You're no monetary payment as far as killing the person. But what about the fact that he's an Eved? So if he would be a human being, you wouldn't have to pay. But now he's an Eved, you should pay money to the Adon himself. So the Brisker Rav said, oh, must be at the end, the Gemara concludes that Rav Yochanan agrees to Reish Lakish, that one who says Mishum Chitza, Vishon Mishum Mimona, and he would have to relearn that Gemara, and it has to be a case where you actually hit the Eved itself. Because for the Ritzika, you don't have to pay, but the fact that you caused the monetary loss to the Adon, you should have to pay, and for that you have to learn. This is how the Brisker Rav wants to learn. Now, before, so what we have already is a machlokes rishon. That's the important thing. The Ron says that Ishum Ishum Kitzav is localized to Nezikin. The Gemara applies it to Kabbalah, but not to Ritzicha. And the Toso says, no, Ishum Ishum Kitzav is a din kol toko. So first of all, the Chazon Ish already uses this concept, Ishum Ishum Kitzav, for the case of tzitzis, lishma by tzitzis. You have a machine that makes tzitzis. Are they kosher or not? Machine tzitzis. Machine matzah, shmura matzah. So the Chazon Ish says, if you hold the Vishum Mishum Chitza, so you're using the machine for the lishma, it's your agent, and therefore you can be good for tzitzis and good for matzah, and lechora be good for get and a safer Torah and shkita and everything else if you go like the Tosa support. Of course, if you go like the Ron, says it's a local din to Nezikin, then you would not be able to apply these mechanisms. You have a computer that's going to print for you get or a safer Torah. Is that a kosher safer Torah? It's filling mezuzahs. That's telling this machlokes between the Ron and the Tosas. This is a very fundamental question. So, just getting back to the question of just using electricity on Shabbos, so we have two approaches to explain the Chazon Ish of all these melachos that you're going to be doing for using electricity. First of all, we have the Grama approach. Those who show them say Grama will be Aser, and not just when it comes to Zora or Afia. That's one way to explain this Shita. And second of all, you have, if you go like the Shita of Tosos, that Ishum Ishum Chitzav is a din and Kol HaTorah Kula and not localized to Nezikin, we have another way, another approach, another theory, how we can justify the Chazon Ish to say that turning on an electric machine would be considered a makav apatesh because you are using Ishum Ishum Chitzav. The electricity is like your agent, and now you have used that agent to create this functional machine. So whatever is happening is all your shlichus because Ishum Ishum Chitzav. Okay? Now, the thing I'm going to conclude is, what about the Shita of the Rambam? I proved to you the Rambam holds of the first theory of the Grama. Does the Rambam agree to the second theory of Ishum Ishum Chitzav like Tosos, it's a din kol Torah kula, or does the Rambam hold that it's localized to Nezikin like the Ron? And my raya, I think I have a raya from the words of the Rambam himself, that it should be considered like the Ron and not like Tosos. So the Ron will use the first theory, but not the second theory. I'm just going to read the words of the Rambam himself. The Rambam at the very end of Niske Mamon, Perek Yudalet, Halacha Tesvav says, he quotes Rav Yochanan's din, Eisha Avra v'hizika esadim v'chavla bo, areza amavir chayv b'nizikin, u'beshifto, that's Chavala, Sheves, Ripuy, Utsaro, Boshes, that's a Gemara. Now he explains, Sha'afo pi, Sha'isho mimono, says the Rambam, even though your fire is really mamo, harehu kimishihizik bichitza. It's considered as if he shut the arrow. Now, that sounds to me like the Shita of the Ron. He says it's really mamona, but nevertheless, we view it and we're going to treat it like it's your arrows. The Rambam does not seem to say that it's considered a general din and kol Torah kula for the purposes of Ritika and Shkita and all these other halachos, that this would be Ishum Ishum Kitza. Furthermore, I have another, this would explain the question. It's a question on the Rambam. Because the Rambam, the question that Tosus asked, the Brisker Rav asked on the Rambam, and the Rav Chaim asked on the Rambam. Remember, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, if you throw the rock, which the Rambam quotes, Zorik Evan, it's Koko, says the Rambam. So Rav Chaim asks, and the Brisker Rav asks, why does the Rambam have to say Koko? Tosu's question, what about Ishum Ishum Chitza? Now, if we say the Rambam holds that Ishum Ishum Chitza is considered a localized din, which does not apply in Kol HaTorah Kulo, like the Ran, that would explain why the Rambam would not be used Koch. The question that's only left is the Brisker is left with this question is the case of the Evan. So what happens is you let the fire and spreads, and then it kills the Evan. So the Brisker Rav says, we understand if you say like the Ran, like Tanan Vehiskia, there's no din of Kimle, but it's the other Tanan Vehiskia, there's no monetary payment for killing a human being. But this is an Evan, it's not just a human being. So why? The Brisker Rav asks, why don't you have to pay to the Adon? The Rambam has, you know, you're causing a loss. The Rambam says you hit, two men are fighting, the pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, and they hit a woman, pregnant woman, and she has a miscarriage. So the Rambam says you have to pay for the babies, right? Ason iya, right? So you have to pay for the babies. So why over there you have to pay for the babies? Because babies is a monetary loss. Not, you're not killing human. The babies is a monetary loss to the husband of the woman. So why by the Evid it's a monetary loss to the... So the Brisker Rav says, the Ran will say in the Maskana, he actually lit the torch to the Evid himself. The problem is the Rambam never says that. So I have an answer that will answer this question, and that will prove that the Rambam holds Yishum Yishum Chitzav as a localized din, because the Rambam says that the concept of Yishum Yishum Chitzav and Yishum Yishum Emona is really Hainu Hach. And the Vilna Gaon on the Gemara Chav Gimel actually says this pshat in the Rambam himself, based on a different Rambam. So the Chitzav is an outgrowth of the Memona. So if we say the Chitzav and Memona are linked, so once we say Tanav Hiskia tells you there's no monetary payments for the Chitzav aspect, because when you kill a human being, you don't pay money as a human being, Memela, there cannot be any monetary payment as the Mamona aspect as well, because the Mamon and the Chitzav have to come together. And if there's no Chiyuv from the Chitzav, there's not going to be a Chiyuv from Mamon as well. They go work hand in hand. So therefore, that would conclude why the Rambam will say that Yishum Yishum Chitzav is a localized din. And he would fit into words of the Rambam himself, because the Imam says, Memona harehu kikitza. They go together. So this will answer another difficult Rambam, because the Rambam says, the Gemara and Bava Kama ask the question, you have a ptur tamon. If you light a fire, anything hidden from the fire, they're not kaya for h. Right. That's called tamon. So Gemara says, but if you hold like Rav Yochanan, Yishum Yishum Chitzav, so good, you're pater from Taman, but it's like you lit the fire with your hands. Who cares the fact that it was hidden? If you take something that was hidden and burn it, are you going to be pater? Take a torch and you light something that was hidden. Are you going to be pater? You destroyed it. The fact that it was Taman shouldn't apply if you hold the Yishum Yishum Chitzav. So the way the Rambam, this is how the Vilna Gaon explains Pshat and Gemara, is Yishum and Memona go together. And if once you have a ptur of mamon from the memona, because tamon patters your memona, there's a ptur of ishum ishum chitzav as well. So you cannot create an ishum ishum chitzav if you have a ptur memona. So the two go together. So that's an example where the mamon patters the chitzav. And the case of the Evid is the reverse, where the chitzav will patter a mamon. But bottom line is that the Rambam is of the opinion that ishum ishum chitzav is like the Ran, and it's not in din and kol HaTorah Kulo.
So according to that pshat, how does you could turn on?
No.
According to that pshat, how does the Rambam explain Yishum Yishum Mamona?
So Yishum Yishum Mamona, you see the words. The best thing is to read the words of the Gemara, because the Gemara itself says, here's the line, just one line in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Ela leman de islam mishum chitzav, islay nami mishum mamona. So that's the line. So the Vilna Gaon, I'll just read you the words of the Gra. The Gra says, the chiyuv chitzav hu mishum mamona. The chiyuv of chitzav is an outgrowth of mamona. They are linked. They're not two separate chiyuv.